let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm sitting in the studio with Father John Wargle. How are you doing today, Father John?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Just getting over being a little bit sick.
Yeah, a little peaked there, you know, a little bit of what you had last time,
I'm afraid you got it from me, unfortunately, but I hope not. I hope it was too late for me to give it to you. But anyway, here we are, and today we're finally moving into Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to talk about Cain and Abel.
Right.
Okay, so go right ahead.
Okay, well, Adam and Eve are exiled from the garden, right? Which means they're exiled from the original culture. The original culture is described as the seventh day, the day of rest.
Yes, right.
Remember we talked about there's a movement from chaos to order to rest?
Mm-hmm.
Now things are unwinding, right? It's going the other way. It's going from rest to disorder to chaos.
Yes, okay.
And that's pretty much Cain's line,
mm-hmm.
right? So we have Adam and Eve, and it doesn't say anything about them and how they felt about things, okay?
Right, yeah. I did think that was kind of interesting. Just reading through the whole scripture in that chapter 4, there was no mention of them until the very end when they have Seth, but you know, there's no info about them at all. I was thinking, what do Adam and Eve think about Cain killing Abel? It's like, are you kidding me? Come on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we don't really know about Adam and Eve after the fall. It just says in chapter 4, verse 1, that Adam knew his wife, Eve, and then she conceived.
Yes.
And she bore a son. She called him Cain. In the Hebrew, that means established. Evidently, she had high hopes for Cain.
Yes.
It's a good, strong name, Cain,
right?
And she says, I have gotten a man, and it's translated here with the help of the Lord, okay? Actually, this is a profound mystery here, and no one really has any good answers for it. In Hebrew, it's kaniti et Yahweh. I have gotten or created, and then like an apposition, Yahweh.
Huh.
What does this mean?
Yeah.
Right? Was it that she's thinking, okay, now that I've conceived a child, maybe this is going to be the answer that was promised back in 3:15?
Or like a
and salvation.
Little God or something?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we just don't know.
Yeah.
And so it's always translated with the help of the Lord. But you know, underneath the text is that, you know, a little bit of info, but it all kind of brings us to the understanding that she was happy.
Yes.
And, you know, okay.
Happy with her child.
Happy with her child.
Mm-hmm.
But immediately she has another son and she calls him Hevel. Now, Danny, Hevel is the same word used in Ecclesiastes.
Okay.
Hevel ha Hevelim. Vanity to vanity, says the Lord. Everything is vanity.
Or
Emptiness, or probably even better, we'll get into it when we get to Ecclesiastes way down the road, but, you know, absurdity of absurdities, okay? I can't make sense of this world, right? So probably after having Cain change a few diapers, saw how, you know, he could be a real terror around the house.
The high hopes wore off.
The next one she says, Hevel, ha-hevelim. Okay, yeah. What have I gotten myself into? This motherhood thing, right?
Yeah.
So that's another mystery, why she would call him Hevel, right? So anyways, we see that Cain was the worker in the fields. Hevel was a herdsman, right?
Yep.
And the important thing is Cain's reaction to his brother.
Uh-huh.
his brother offered from the best of his sheep or possessions.
Right.
And God received it.
Yeah.
And Cain saw this, and he offered some of his first fruits, okay, or of fruits of his fields. So it's not explicitly wrong that he did offer what we might call a grain offering. I mean, we'll right. see that that's something that happens in Scripture.
Yes. Well, the thing about it is yeah. that was his job, or that was his role, was to be in the field and raising vegetables, or
yeah,
you know, working
right, right.
on working
right,
the
right.
land.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand that at all. Why?
Well,
why did God not accept his offering of, and maybe it was that he didn't offer the best, where Abel did offer the best. But anyway, there was an obvious difference there.
Well, you have to read between the lines here, okay?
Okay,
again,
that's
written
what I don't
with
the
do economy
well.
Of style. There's mm-hmm. a couple of things that could be. The fact that the text emphasizes that Abel gave his best,
yes.
okay? Whereas his brother sort of gave maybe not so much the best, okay?
Right,
it's not
right.
emphasized that he really put himself into this whole thing.
Gotcha, that is
which
true.
Which means that... It may, you know, it means it's just a perfunctory thing.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing, too, the whole thing, too, is this. It could have undertones that for a real offering to atone for sin, it has to be an animal.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could have afforded an animal. He could have, you know, traded for one
right.
somehow
well,
or something, you know.
With Abel.
But yeah. we don't know.
Yeah.
But we just don't know, right? But one thing we do know, and it's very clear from the text, is that he didn't have a great attitude.
Yeah.
Because God confronted him on his anger.
Mm-hmm.
And anger is a symptom of something deeper.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And what the something deeper is pride.
Mm-hmm.
Pride says, you know, I think I deserve better than what I'm getting.
Right.
And I'm not getting it. And so therefore what? You get angry.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the time. Or out of fear. Those are the two deeper issues that bring about anger and fear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyways, he had an anger problem, and God confronts him with this.
Yeah.
And this is very, very profound. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted?"
Yeah. And by countenance fallen, that's like he fell into a despair or...
Your countenance is your face, and it's fallen, okay, which means that... Why are you sad?
Why are you looking sad?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. He could see through the face into, and we can do that with one another.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What, you know, what's
troubling
you?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
exactly.
When you walk in and see Doris and she's not happy, what's,
right.
right.
Can tell right away.
right.
And
right.
she can do that same thing with me. Yeah.
yeah
sure.
That's true. Okay. And if you do not well, sin is lurking at the door. Sin is like a beast.
Right, yeah.
And its desire is for you. We talked about this earlier.
Yep.
That same word, teshukah,
mm-hmm.
this is the only other place that we see it. And it's connected with chapter 3, where the woman's desire will be for her husband.
Her husband, yeah.
Which means she'll want to dominate,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that's exactly what sin wants to do. It wants to dominate you. But you must master it.
Yes.
Now, right. this tells us something, because he's speaking to fallen humanity.
Mm.
And what God is saying is that we can master sin.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that we're completely helpless to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It can be done.
It can be done, and God challenges him to do it.
Right.
Right? Now, we all know we can't do it on our own, but if he had a good relationship with God, God could bring him around to that, right?
Sure.
So there is this power in us to be able to do it. Well, he doesn't listen to God, and we all know he does. He kills his brother, and what happens is that he's cursed. Danny, yep. That's bad.
Yeah, this is bad. This is the worst part for, you know.
That's right. Yeah, because... what God curses is cursed. And it's very, very final, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he and his seed are wanderers of the earth. When you murder somebody, your relationship with the soil changes because God said, I hear your brother's blood. That's profound too, because he thought his brother's blood was hidden.
Yeah.
And most murderers feel like, oh, I got away with it.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Right, of course, yeah.
But no murder is ever hidden from God because the blood is calling out
from the earth.
From the earth. That's it's terrifying. And therefore, he's a stranger to the earth.
Yeah.
And he is forced to go out and wander. So he is no longer able to have this living that he had earlier. And Cain said to the Lord, by the way, he's not at all repentant.
Right. That is the thing that it was, and that's the same as Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of harkens back to them. And it's interesting because there's more than that. So God did not curse Adam and Eve, but then he just curses Cain.
There's the difference
for this. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Things are not going to work out for him.
Right. Clearly.
Okay.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Worgel. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
God did not curse Adam and Eve, but then he just curses Cain.
There's the difference
right there. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Things are not going to work out for him.
Right. Clearly.
Okay. So he doesn't repent. Repentance is really a gift of God. When you think of the human race, you know, to become to a place of repentance is a place of revelation.
Sure, revelation.
And revelation
it's
is something
so
that
freeing.
God gives us,
yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we see that he's unrepentant, but he says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me, I got this hard, now fugitive sort of life, and everybody who's going to find me is going to kill me now.
Right? Yeah.
And Lord said, no, not so. I'm going to put a mark on your head. And this mark on the forehead is, of course, that's a big motif throughout Scripture.
Mm.
We see it with Ezekiel and the executioner. The forehead is marked of those who are righteous in the city, right? But there's the mark of the beast, the dark side of it in Revelation.
Right. Yep.
Well, here, this mark is a mark of grace. It says, anybody that will attack you and would kill you, I will avenge sevenfold.
Yeah. The reason that God does that and puts the mark on Cain is because Cain says, I don't have a chance.
That's right.
You know, you're sending me out to be this wanderer. I've got nothing. I can't do anything anymore. And people are just going to look at me and want to kill me.
That's right.
And so God says, nope, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to put this mark on you so that anyone who kills you is going to be in big trouble.
Yeah. So we see that even he's under a curse, God gives him grace.
Yes, right.
That just shows the heart of God, right? So we see then that Cain now begins what I call an alternative culture.
Yeah.
It's an alternative to the original culture that God intended for humanity, which is living in the bliss of the seventh day in union and communion with God.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he is building a culture based on autonomy, which falls further and further away from God.
Yeah. Well, he builds a city, right?
Look at what he does. Yeah, it's very interesting in Scripture, where he knew his wife and born Enoch, and they built a city called the name of the city Enoch, and Irad, you know, all these different ancient antediluvian type names, right?
Which means before the flood.
Before the flood, yes. Right. And so he eventually, about five generations down, there's Lamech.
Yeah.
And Lamech took two wives, and the name was Adah, and the other one was Zillah. And it's interesting what these children create. They're very creative. And it's interesting that the alternative culture is creative,
yeah,
right?
Sure, yeah.
They create music, right? Jubal, I like that, don't you?
Yeah,
that's
like
where
jubilation.
We get jubilation from, yeah. Jubal, right?
And he's the music and instrument guy.
You would like, yeah, that, Danny. That's,
oh, sure.
Right, right?
Yeah, because, that's right down my alley. Yeah.
They play the lyre and the pipe.
Flute, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or the flute or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, right, right. And Zillah bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron.
Yeah, so he's doing metalworking.
Metalworking, okay. These in and of themselves are good.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the hands of evil people, these good things create an oppressive culture.
Yeah.
Right? We know that metal, instruments of metal, can be used for war, and you and I both know that almost all new technology in some way or another is almost always used for military purposes.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and even it's just used to expand what's currently happening and in a lot of different cultural ways. And a lot of the ways are not good.
They're not good.
You know, I mean, yeah, you can look at today just
that's
to
right.
see that, how the internet and technology,
right.
Where we move.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
it's power in the hands of wicked people, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And we see how wicked they are because we see Lamech's boast.
Yes.
Where he says, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, hark to what I say. I have slain a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. He's boasting that he killed, and he kills in a way that's not out of justice, right?
Yeah.
He's killing indiscriminately.
Mm-hmm.
And he boasts, if Cain is avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech, me,
yes,
77-fold.
Right.
And so what this tells us, Danny, is that God's grace given to wicked people is presumed upon.
Yes.
Right? Whereas grace should leave us to repentance and thankfulness.
Right. And it was the opposite with him.
He said, works the opposite way.
I can get away with even more bad
exactly.
things.
Right. Right. And so we see how Cain's alternative culture is spiraling deeper and deeper into chaos. It's going from order to disorder to
chaos.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. So there you have Cain and his culture. Now, Danny, when you really compare Cain with Abel, Abel is peaceful.
Yeah.
Abel is with his animals, and he's really not creating much of anything. He's not even a man of action, right?
Yeah, right. Well, he's just sort of living that life that God gave to him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Cain, he's all action. He sees and he takes, mm-hmm, right?
Sure, yeah.
And out of that comes technology. And technology is always something that's done to avert the curse, right? The curse of the earth, right?
Right, so yes.
You have to work by the sweat of your brow. You've got to defeat chaos, right? I mean, I think we mentioned this before. We have grocery stores and refrigerators, right? So we don't have to be beholden,
yes,
to the weather, so to speak.
Yeah,
we're sort of trying to create our own paradise in our refrigerators and our grocery stores, right?
Sure, sure.
And if we have a famine for years, somewhere in the United States, they're going to be shipping food to us, right? I mean, because we've the technology is there, right? Yeah, we're trying to...
We do it now.
We do it now, right?
We get all these great things in the winter from further south.
Right. You know, that's technology, right?
Yeah.
Darkness, electric lights. And we always are creating things to alleviate the effects of the fall. Medicine. I mean, you name it. Everything
is there to
defeat chaos in our lives, right?
Yeah.
So... this technology, but the technology, as we said before, spills right into war because we can use this technology to the advantage over our enemies and for violence.
Certainly. And if we have better technology than the people that we're trying to beat,
exactly,
we're going to win.
Right. But Danny, that's not the end of when it comes to using these things for bad reasons. The devils get involved in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we get into chapter 6, we see that demons enter into this alternative culture.
Sure. And the movement through the alternative culture. Now, demons are involved and things get radically worse.
That's right. And we're going to see that as we go ahead. So this progression from action to technology, even music, can be used in a very, very negative way.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So much of the culture of rebellion came in to the populace, not through reading Nietzsche. Okay.
Right.
It was all carried in through a music at a very popular level. So, right. And that is how the message gets to the culture and becomes part of the culture, right? Yeah,
sure, yep.
Yeah. So music can be used for bad ends as well.
Mm-hmm.
So all this creativity, you know, it can be good, but it can be also very evil. And in the end, you find out that you're dancing with the devil,
sure,
right?
Yes.
And then it gets so bad that God has to step in, and we'll be getting in there. So does, I don't know, Danny, does that help you to see this... this alternative culture, it is going from the original rest to disorder to chaos. But there's a progression also in this evil of going from men of action to technology to war and then...
demonic influence.
Yeah, right.
And then there's the judgment of God.
Right. And we'll see that with the... post-diluvians, okay, the antediluvians, that this whole thing is done again.
Yeah.
It just like a record where you see men of action, you know, and what have you, technology. And
the progression.
Yeah, until God has to step in again.
Yeah.
So anyways, okay, that's what we have with Cain's alternative culture. And quite frankly, we are living in an alternative culture now.
Hey, it reminds me of today.
Danny, this could not be more current.
Sure, this alternative culture.
Yeah, right.
It's certainly taken hold.
Yeah, it's old. We've seen it, the record turning of many times in history.
Okay, good. Well, we'll move on next time.
Okay.
Thanks so much for coming in.
God bless.
We'll see you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.